Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
What's your greatest takeaway from the Bears draft? Can you grade it, please, and assess how much it will speed up the rebuild?
Well, yeah, I mean, listen, the greatest takeaway is that they got the quarterback. And I think that, you know, as well as they did all over the draft, it's going to come down to the one player and how well he adapts and how good he is and how quickly he becomes what you believe he can be. And, I mean, they have set him up to succeed. And it's now incumbent upon Shane Waldron, everyone up there, to make sure that this pays off in the way that it should. It's a hell of a receiving core. I love the Rome Odunze pick. But, I mean, it all comes down to quarterback. I love the story with the kid from Hinsdale Central. It was hilarious to read his, like, Bear fan tweets. Someone posted some of the stuff of the pain he was in watching the team. I mean, that guy's a Bear fan. So that was super cool. We talked about the punter from Australia. I there's so much to like about it, and we haven't even talked about the fact that when you break the whole thing down and how they use the assets of the draft and bringing in Montez Sweat, and he's the ultimate multiplier on that defense, and you look at Keenan Allen, a 6-time Pro Bowler coming here, and you look at Ryan Bates, who's supposed to solve a problem in the middle of the offensive line, you're talking about like 6 starters out of a draft starting immediately next year. So this does speed the process. It'll come down to the quarterback. You get an A for that draft without a doubt, but it's all about the quarterback, and it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, I would give it an A right now on paper. That is an A, probably an A plus. Now the heat, right? The heat is on Shane Waldron. The heat is on Caleb Williams. Can these two get it going and get the Bears going in the right direction? A lot of fun stories, as you guys mentioned in the open. You know, local guy made good. Buddy of mine is a coach over at Hinsdale Central, you know, offered to come on and talk about the kid. It's a fun story. Lots of fun stories all around. And looking forward to getting to know a little bit more about this pass rusher as well at 7:25.
Yeah, the biggest takeaway is that it's a transformational draft for the Bears. As people were framing it beforehand, Ryan Poles delivered. And I agree with him when he said on Sunday, or Saturday, I believe it was, that this is a new chapter for Bears football. We're looking at the Bears differently. The whole league is looking at the Bears differently. Whole league's looking at the Bears, period. And so this draft specifically maxed out. You were able to use all of your assets for meaningful reasons, and whether it was using draft picks and trading them for proven players or using the ones you had left for prospects. All 5 of the draft picks that you made over the weekend had a specific purpose, and you've got 2 guys who were probably projects in Amagaji and Austin Booker. Those guys could help maybe next year, but certainly their traits guys, they're going to help for a while. You envision them fitting in ways that are playing meaningful roles, maybe as rookies, maybe not. Doesn't matter as much as the other 3, who are 3 players who are elite at their position. In the case of Caleb Williams and Torrey Taylor, the best at their position available. And Rome Odunze, could be as impactful as anybody that joins the team in 2024. So this was the best case scenario for the Bears, and congratulations to Ryan Poles, who put together an A class of draft picks.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
Pick six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Visit feelgreatillinois.com and learn more about their testosterone therapy or weight loss options. All right. On the one hand, the Bears joined the modern NFL by drafting the best quarterback and an elite wide receiver at number nine, potentially giving the team its most potent offense in years. On the other, they still have a top 10 defense that's improved and defensive-minded head coach likes to run the ball. So what is the identity of this, quote, new Bears, end quote, team Ryan Poles is referring to?
We talked about this a little bit on Saturday during the draft show. I think it's an interesting question because it does kind of force you to look at the Bears maybe differently, or you're tempted to look at the Bears differently because they have all this weaponry. They did draft touchdowns, and it is the modern age that they're adapting to finally. Finally, they've got the weaponry. Finally, they've got the quarterback. Finally, maybe they have the offensive coordinator who's going to tailor his scheme around the talent rather than the other way around. But you still have a defensive-minded head coach, and you still have a defense that's ahead of your offense. And why do I say that? It's because it's more proven. And I don't think you need to rush into embracing all that comes with being this, you know, the greatest show on natural grass or whatever the case is you want to coin it. You don't have to try to get too far ahead of yourselves offensively. Let that develop and let Caleb Williams grow at a rate that is conducive to his skill set. You don't want to put too much pressure on him, even though it's enormous amount of pressure that he might feel. Still, you're going to win with defense. You're going to win with field position, and you want to probably lean on the running game as much as you have in the past. Your identity doesn't have to be the finesse team. You can still punch people in the mouth and still be the physical team and still be tough and all those things. And then the identity may eventually change. You know, Caleb Williams is going to be a superstar, you hope he's going to be a superstar. He's already a celebrity. He's already a guy that's going to be the face of your franchise. But I don't think you need to overreact necessarily. Defense, running game, let him ease into the job as much as anything, and then your identity will take care of itself.
Well, there's three phases of football: offense, defense, special teams, and the Bears have addressed all of that. You know, towards the end of last season, they addressed the defense more, you know, trading for Montez Sweat, using draft capital to get that guy. Obviously, they did what they did at 1-9. We had fun with it, but in all seriousness, then they drafted a punter who is setting all kinds of records at the collegiate level. They have a good place kicker. They rewarded him towards the end of last season with a new contract. So now they've got all three phases. And as Ryan Poles said Saturday, now it's time. Now it's time to start the new chapter and put, you know, in the work to actually get to where we're all hoping they can get to.
Yeah, their identity is going to shift from being a running team to a passing team. That's fairly obvious. The Bears went through, I believe, 9 offensive coordinators in their search before hiring Shane Waldron, and he didn't need a second interview. They just hired him after going through all those interviews. But they, they got a guy who came in here. I guess Seattle was 7th in pass plays a year ago, 26th in runs, and the Bears were 30th in runs, 30th in passes and 3rd in designed runs. So they're going to throw the ball more than they're going to run the ball. I think you always want balance, but I think this is a passing offense. And I think that with Caleb Williams here, my hope is that it's a controlled passing game. I hope that they march down the field and they use the passing game. They use all the variety of different passes available to them, and they don't just kind of go down the field. But when you know when it has to happen, that they're going to have those plays available to them. And I think that with this receiving core, I don't think we're going to see a lot of balls on the ground. I think you got two of the best receivers out there in terms of Odunze and the way he does on contested catches based on his college play. And Keenan Allen is great on contested catches. And DJ Moore can catch anything, and we know what his run after the catch skills are. So I'm envisioning the Bears throwing the ball more and marching down the field more I think it's going to be a ton of fun to see this offense.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, 9 a.m. this Monday with Mully and Hall. What's your take on the new Bears punter? Torrey Taylor was taking a specialist that early in the fourth round. An indulgence or a stroke of genius?
Well, I would say the answer is yes. The answer is yes. It is both an indulgence and a stroke of genius. It's an indulgence just because, you know, you still hadn't gotten to the pass rusher. And I think if we came in here this morning and they hadn't gone back and gotten a rush specialist, we'd all be talking about it and scratching our heads a little bit. I think this is different than taking a specialist. This is a guy who kind of stands alone. And it's a very, you know, the Bears once used a second-round pick on Todd Sauerbrunn. You realize that, right? This is a fourth-round pick. Maybe the reason that people kind of sat up is because they had so few picks in the draft, and that was the fourth of four, and that was going to be the end of the draft, and then they got back in for the pass rusher, which I think is a necessary thing. But if you came away from that draft with this player, this is, you know, I would argue that he's going to be the best punter in the league for a number of years. He was that good in college, and he was that transformative for the team he played for. Now the argument is, if you're taking a guy that can throw and you're taking a guy that can catch, it's really not planning on punting the ball very often. You know, do you need a punter if you're going to be the Kansas City Chiefs? Well, I would say that there's a huge difference for a team that is, you know, rallying to try to beat you and has to go 60 yards to do so versus 80 yards to do so. So I think that this is going to help them in key moments of games. I think he's got this incredible ability to stop the ball in its travel, much like a professional golfer. He can just lay the ball down different places. He can hit a target. They said that you could have this guy kick from the 50 and put it in a trash can on the goal line. I mean, that's how good a punter he is. Move it from side to side, whatever you want to do. So I think this is different because this is such an extraordinary weapon.
I mean, that's wild that he could do that. I think it's great. I think, Mully, I told you on the phone over the weekend, I mean, listen, you got 22 starters, 11 on each side of the ball. If you include your place kicker and your punter, that's 24 starters. I mean, this is a starter, as you just said, for, you know, with health, 8 to 10 years, this guy is going to be doing this. So I don't think it's a super stretch to get a starter, somebody who's going to be your A guy at a position for the next half a decade at the bare minimum. So, no, I don't think it's an indulgence. I think it was the right move. I think it's a smart move. I love, and we talked about it on the air even before they did it. Well, wait a minute. If you're drafting Caleb Williams, which we knew they were going to do, why would you need this guy? And then Caleb Williams came off the top rope and goofed around with the guy on social media. So they're already having fun about it. So, listen, it's great. I have no problem with it whatsoever.
I think even when you have the more potent your offense is, the more obvious you need a punter because you're going to be good. And good teams don't have these kind of weaknesses, and so the Bears addressed that. I don't know that it was necessarily an indulgence. It may have seemed like one to some people, but you could totally defend it, especially when you have a defensive-minded head coach whose philosophy is rooted in valuing the punt as much as Matt Eberflus's philosophy is. This is the highest punter taken since the 49ers back in 2019 took Mitch Wishnowsky. He's never made a Pro Bowl, still on that roster. Remember, people always mention Sauerbrunn with the Bears, and certainly that's a good reference from 95. But they took Chris Gardocki, who was good for a couple of years and ended up having a pretty good NFL career. So it can be done. It has been done. And it makes sense for a team that had addressed other needs with their draft capital. You know, they were smart to come back into the fifth round and get the edge rusher that they lacked. But when you can get an elite player who's the best at his position with a fourth-round draft pick, I think you take advantage because you don't want to have any weaknesses in your special teams. And now they have a kicker they invested in Cairo Santos, that makes a lot of sense. And they have a punter that could be here for a pretty long time. Who's older, by the way? Is he older than Cairo Santos? Because That's the other thing you wonder is how he's going to age. Punters age pretty well, though.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
That's a good question to ask.
He's like 6'4", 230, too. He's like a big dude.
Can he arm wrestle?
I'm guessing so.
Could he beat Bajan's dad?
With his leg.
With Jordan Wicks becoming the fourth Cubs starting pitcher to hit the injured list in the first month of the season, how much can one team take? Does it give you more confidence in the season because of the way the depth has come through, or less confidence because you fear attrition eventually is going to catch up with them?
I think it's catching up with them now, and it could this spin through. Going to New York, you wonder what shape they're in. You hope Jameson Taillon can have a good start. You go, then you come home, and you hope that against the Brewers, it's a good series. But four starting pitchers on the injured list in the first month of the season is really no way to start a season that you hope ends with a division title. Very difficult. And then you consider Cody Bellinger out, Seiya Suzuki out. You've got two of your best players, perhaps your two best hitters, and four starting pitchers. And, oh, by the way, Julian Merriweather, one of your most versatile bullpen pieces. All these injuries. Craig Counsell's not complaining. This is a good test of the Cubs' resolve. They've been resilient. So to me, yes, you bemoan what's not there, but I think you're encouraged the fact that they're still where they are in the standings, have won as many games as they have, and they have done more with less. That was the rep on Craig Counsell. He's backed it up in the first month. Let's just hope he doesn't have to spend the entire season proving how capable he is of winning without the Cubs' healthy roster.
It's a bit concerning, of course. We've seen it all over baseball. Something seems to be up. Something seems to be going on. I'm not sure if it's the spinning of the ball, the pitch clock people want to blame it on, if it's just a thing. It's not great news, but it is showing depth. Wasn't thrilled with Ben Brown's start the other day out at Boston, so not sure how many spins around the rotation he's going to get. But it does sound like Justin Steele's right around the corner
Wednesday,
right? So he's going to make that minor league start on Wednesday. And the question I really have is, he needs the one for sure. Does he need two? you know, because of these injuries, do they bring him back a little bit sooner? Obviously, he'd be on a pitch limit right off the bat. But if you get David shaking his head, doesn't like that idea. So we'll wait and see. But listen, if you told me again, based on the injuries and the schedule that was presented to them, that they'd be where they're at as we're running out of April, I'd have been pretty happy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think they've done very well, given how difficult April was going to be for them. Jordan Wicks, you know, I guess he felt something after his last start, and he felt something before this one. Okay, why not check it out? You're going to give him a couple games off. I mean, holy cow. And they said that it's nothing and they don't worry about it. Okay, well, that's good. It is nice that Steele's coming back, and hopefully sooner than later. I would not rush him, though, depending on the injuries you have. Am I wrong to think, and I mean, listen, Mark Leiter Jr. is a good pitcher. He comes in yesterday and he walks a guy.
Oh, man.
The leadoff walk, especially when you're in a walk-off situation, it's just a killer. That's just a killer. And I'm not getting on him, but I don't think they're a problem. They've been doing okay with their starting pitching. At some point, they're probably going to have to make a trade on the back end, right? Get the Rick Sutcliffe of relievers and let him come in here and lock down every game the rest of the way, and that'll solve one of the bigger issues. So, I mean, it's interesting you mentioned Merriweather. Is he – what's his status? That's a bad injury.
Bad injury.
Sounded like you can't sleep with that injury, let alone come back in a hurry. So, I don't know. I just worry about the back end of the bullpen more than anything else.
That's a good question.
All right, with four hits in his first 10 at-bats, including – clutch home run, Pete Crow Armstrong looks more like the Cubs' top prospect than he did last September. How realistic is it that PCA spends the summer in Chicago? What's his best role on this team, and does he have one after Cody Bellinger returns?
Well, his best role on the team is as a defensive replacement, if indeed Bellinger gets back. He doesn't really have a role when Bellinger returns, if you want to be brutally honest about it. That's why he wasn't up to begin with. And they thought he could get more at-bats in Iowa. And, I like PCA. I think he's a good player. He's on the way. I just don't know why. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I don't know that he spends the summer in Chicago. I think they need him now, and he's there, and he's a really good defensive player. But when Bellinger comes back, is his development – is it better in the minor leagues with more at-bats on a regular basis, or is it better hanging around the major league club and picking up whatever scrap at-bats are there while being a defensive replacement? I think that given the way Tauchman's playing, given the way, you know, Seiya presumably comes back and Bellinger comes back, I don't know that he's not going back to Iowa.
Yeah, probably, and also part of this equation is the way Michael Bush has secured first base, right? So there was some thought if Bush doesn't get off to a good start, if he's struggling, you put Bellinger at first base, and then PCA would take the role out in center field. That seems like his position. But I think he might be around, Mully, until you mentioned Seiya Suzuki when you were answering your part of it. Like, I think you got to have Suzuki and Bellinger both back. Not that Tauchman's done a really nice job, but you can't play every single day. So I think until both Suzuki and Bellinger are back, I think PCA stays up. But he still needs to work on his hitting. But I think that home run was huge. It took the weight of the world off the shoulders, and he had some really nice at-bats out in Boston.
Confidence builder. He's hitting .385. The knock on him was that he couldn't hit, and that was going to keep him in Iowa all season long. So I don't know. I think the purpose of the question, I think, would be, or the takeaway for me is that you don't have to decide yet. And I don't think it's as obvious. And that almost is the answer. It's not obvious that he's going down. I don't know that you want to take him away. It is a balancing act with every prospect, is that if you can contribute in a meaningful way to the major league team, then you have every reason to be here. And that takes precedent over developing his individual skills or rounding out his game at AAA. So you're the Cubs. You're in contention. You're looking at that division as a tough one to win. If PCA can help you win a game every 2 weeks or he contributes once a week in a meaningful way, he's worth keeping. And if he's not an offensive liability any longer and he finally gets the stroke at the major league level, you've seen at the minor league level, I'm not as convinced that I would send him down immediately. I would wait until both outfielders are back and then make a determination then. And I'm not sure it's an obvious equation. You look at the DH role, Matt Mervis, 133, that's not cutting it. Somebody's got to be the designated hitter. Maybe PCA can be the guy in the field and give Suzuki or Bellinger days as DH and kind of rest him there. I don't know. He could be a valuable piece moving forward.
I'm just answering your question.
How do you explain the White Sox recording their first sweep since last June and doubling their season win total over the weekend? Do you credit Andrew Benintendi's bat, or is it the Tommy Pham factor, or is it Pedro's prowess?
Oh, my gosh. This is like embarrassment of riches suddenly. Pedro's prowess? That's just alliterative. There's none of that going on.
That might be a joke. That might be a search for alliteration.
That is just a search for alliteration. Thank you, Molly, for fessing up to that question.
Yeah.
Tommy Pham, fantastic. Okay, maybe. He's a very serious man. I don't know if you've heard. He's very intense. He's a stern guy in that clubhouse. That's the storyline. Okay, and if you don't like it, he'll slap you. I think that the Sox got a really good start from Fetty. Benintendi finally started to hit his weight. And they got a sweep of the Rays. It's awesome. It's an awesome weekend on the South Side for all you haters out there. Take that.
That's not it. It's South Side Standards.
Oh, I'm getting my cliches mixed up.
I'm confusing the two guys.
For all the haters, South Side Stand Up.
I'm confusing my two embellishers. I'm sorry.
I do have a couple of buddies that are big White Sox fans, and the one texted me, and he said, "That's an embarrassment." And I said, "What's an embarrassment?" He's like, "That guy who replaced the TV booth is in an absolute embarrassment." Aiden. And you know what else was? Was Jerry paying attention Saturday night? Did you see how many people were there?
28,000.
The place was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a gorgeous night.
Beautiful Saturday night.
And they won. And they gave away the hockey jersey.
And the hockey. The giveaway might have been part of it.
Now I know.
Right?
Why didn't you go?
Brooks was on top
hockey
of it.
Town.
But how about
he
that?
He just spun his head around the, and nearly gave himself whiplash.
Why were the White Sox hockey jerseys the same color as David's golf shirt today?
Yes. Lions blue.
Yeah. Honolulu blue. Kind of weird.
Tar Heel blue.
Tar Heel blue. But I'm going to say it was the fact that Benintendi's bat. I mean, they finally got what they were paying for, right? That's what they expected out of Benintendi. And over the weekend, at least against the Rays, he was able to deliver.
Yeah, Tommy Pham's had a hit in each game since he's come up, and they're unbeaten since Tommy Pham's come up. I loved Ozzie on the post game saying, you know, don't put that on him, because then once he goes 0-10, we're going to kill him. I thought that was very funny. But Tommy Pham has helped. They've gotten better ball players in there. Listen, Andrew Benintendi, we mentioned it earlier, he now leads them in RBI. He had 4 in the first 25 games. He got 6 on Saturday. He had 2 bombs, and he got 6 RBI, added another couple RBI yesterday. I believe they got 3-for-4 performances yesterday from both Aloy and from Gavin Sheets. So all of a sudden, Danny Mendick has been good since they brought him up. I know no one wants to hear it, but they, you know, they're not a young team. It's not like they're going for young guys. They're bringing up age, and they're bringing in even more age, but they finally scored some runs. The difference this weekend versus previous games is that they scored runs, and they scored 9 runs in a game, which was a season high. So they got their first sweep since last June.
Yep.
Last June. Guess what? By the way, Miami lost again yesterday. They are no longer the worst team in baseball.
Oh, wow.
The White Sox are actually closing in.
Well, that seems worth celebrating.
On being the third worst team in baseball.
That's great. That's
progress. It's been, you know, you can say what you want, all you haters.
I'm not a hater.
No, I just think it's hilarious to say people were hating on a team that couldn't get a hit and it got shut out 8 times. And, you know, that's not hating. That's reacting to a terrible team.
That's grasping the obvious.
Maybe the people are hating the home run call, whatever. But
that's a different story.
You know, Sox fans, stand up. Why don't you grow up, too, if you're really going to yell about haters? God help us. I loved it. I loved seeing the Sox win a series. It actually, you know, I was tuning out. I watch them still, which I can't admit to, but I do. And it was fun. It was a fun weekend. They won some games. What the hell? Eric Fetty was great yesterday.
Eric Fetty has been great the last couple times out.
That's right.
A lot to like about him. He's the race.
20 Ks, 0 walks.
He's the race.
See, you're making fun of it now.
I'm not. He is the race.
2.46 ERA.
Garrett Crochet goes tonight, right? He pitches tonight for the Sox.
They've got the Twins.
They got the Twins
is
back
the weather
at home.
Going to hold off?
Oh, my gosh.
And we should have mentioned the weather because it rained like
Be careful out there.
Yeah.
They're having issues.
There's standing water.
On the Dan Ryan, standing water near 31st Street. It's all over the place. Be careful out there.
Yeah, be careful on your way in. Give yourself a little extra time. It was raining really heavily when we came in. All right, we've got the extra point next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Say it with me. Say it proud for all the haters. Southside, stand up.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.